This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 380 in the series. This session shows the Board of Health meeting held on Wednesday, November 4, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. A quick recap of the meeting. There was a motion to approve prior meeting minutes that passed via roll call, all 3-0. A motion to grant a waiver on a leaching field Title V specifications to create a working system for one residence. It was passed also by the roll call 3-0 vote. A manicure establishment regulation is going to be the subject of a future public hearing before removing the regulation, as it is a duplicative effort with what the state already does. Updates were also provided on recruiting for future clinics in process. The building at 27 Winter Street was condemned. The proceedings were approved by and appreciated by the Franklin Police. No questions from the committee on Governor Baker's updates to the COVID-19 restrictions, facial coverings, etc., that were just being implemented for November 6th. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to the Board of Health page. The meeting runs around 28 minutes, so listen to the Board of Health meeting for November 4, 2020.
All right, so good evening. This is an open meeting of the Franklin Board of Health and is being conducted remotely, consistent with Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020, due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth from the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. In order to mitigate the transmission of this virus, we've been advised and directed by the Commonwealth to suspend public gatherings as such. The governor's order suspends the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. Further, all members of the public are allowed and encouraged to participate remotely. This order, which you can find posted with the agenda materials for the meeting, allow for public bodies to meet entirely remotely, so as long as reasonable public access is afforded. Ensuring public access does not require public comment, but we will allow public comment as time permits. Let me flip this page over. Sorry, we've got it everywhere. For this meeting, the Franklin Board of Health will be using telephone video conferencing under the Google Hangout application. In their directions as how to join this meeting on the town's website. Please note that this meeting may be recorded and that some attendees may be participating via video conference. Please be aware that others may be able to see you and take care not to screen share your computer. All supporting materials that have been provided to members of this body are also available on the town's website, unless otherwise noted. Meeting business ground rules. We now turn to the first item of the agenda. Before we do so, permit me to cover some ground rules. I, the chair, will introduce each speaker on the agenda after they conclude their remarks. Please remember to mute your phone or computer when you're not actively speaking, and please remember to speak clearly, not like I am right now, in a way that helps generate accurate meeting minutes. All right, so that is that. So without further ado, we'll go right to the agenda that I don't have printed out in front of me, Kathleen. So what is first?
Okay, the first is reading and acceptance of October 21st, 2020 and October 22nd, 2020 meeting minutes.
Okay, and I know those were sent out via email earlier this week. So Tim, Jeff, any discussion or motion to accept these minutes?
A motion to accept the minutes from October 21st, 2020 and October 28th, 2020 meetings.
Okay. You guys, I just need to interrupt. We had one other meeting date, Kathleen. There were three meeting dates.
And was that October 7th, Ginny, as well?
Yes, I think it was.
Well, you know what? I didn't change the, did I change the agenda? Cause I just printed it.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry.
I did.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
So motion to accept the meeting minutes from October 7th, 2020, October 21st, 2020, and October 28th, 2020.
Okay. All right. So we'll take a roll call vote. All in favor, Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yep.
And the chair votes yes. So accepted as... submitted. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, Kathleen.
Okay, so new business, discuss Title V plans for 4 Abbey Lane. So I don't, obviously you can't review the plans, but I have Wade's email here, and then we'll hear from Bill Gottwald, the engineer. So So according to Wade, you know what? I'm not even gonna, well, I have to, never mind. So the, so this plan discusses high ground, well, the variance, there's got to be a variance or what's it called? A, sorry, it's not my, this is not my thing. So Bill is going to be asking for us to accept groundwater estimation at septic tank and pump chamber, location to be 93.5. And the state allows upgrade less, so the state allows local upgrades less than 12 inches, but not less than 1 inch. So this outlet elevation for the pump chamber has flexibility to be positioned at a higher elevation since it's not dependent on gravity flow movement. So Bill, you can unmute yourself and get me out of this hole that I just dug. Everyone,
oh, you did five.
This is Bill, and he can just briefly, Bill, explain to the yep. board what you're looking for.
Okay, actually we're looking for two, they call it a local upgrade approval. So we're looking for two local upgrade approvals. We did a perk test back in August 25th. We had actual standing water at 8 feet, but we had models, which is, as you know, the soil color at 36 inches. So we're asking for two waivers, one to reduce the groundwater separation from 4 feet to 3 feet, and the other one, where the tank comes out of the house, we can't change that. That's been like that for 30 years. We're just going to replace that tank with a new tank. But by doing that, it puts the tank within 12 inches, the invert going into the tank within 12 inches of high groundwater. Going into the tank, we're about 5/10 above groundwater, which is about 6 inches. It is 6 inches. And then it goes into the tank, it drops 3 inches, it comes out, it goes into the pump chamber, and going into the pump chamber is still about 2 inches above this modeling line. So that's what we're asking waivers for, to allow that. That Title V says anything within 12 inches of groundwater, we need a approval from the Board of Health. And like you said, there's no other way to do it. We're putting the tank back in the same. We're just replacing the tanks. They're over 30 years old. We're putting them back in the same place. There's no way to raise the plumbing in the basement. We've looked into that. You'd have to see the basement, but it's a walkout basement, so that in the back the concrete is lowered. So there's really no way to raise it. If you can understand
yep.
that.
Yep. Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
All right. So just for clarification, because I don't have the plans, I don't know. This is an upgrade because the system is already in failure, or is this an upgrade because
that's right.
the homeowner wants to expand their home? Okay.
No,
so this
no,
is because
not,
the system is
not.
Already in failure. So the only way we
yes,
can get feasible compliance is by allowing this. Otherwise, we have the damage, you know, the potential for the failed system to impact the environment.
Right, the existing leaching field, when I was out there in August, the ground mm-hmm. is mucky. So
yep.
we're moving the leaching field to a higher ground, and that's why we need to pump it.
Totally got it. All right.
Okay. And Bridget, Wade recommended the approval.
Perfect, that was my next question. So the town engineer supported the variance request for both local, for both sections, the two variance requests. It's just one variance request, but two different sections of the Title V, right?
Right.
All right, so with that, and with Wade's recommendation, I'd like to open it up to either questions or comments from Jeff and Tim, if they're so inclined.
No questions for me.
I have a question. For only one person done on,
We did two test holes, which is required. We did one actual perk where you time it. So yeah,
yep.
We did two test holes. One had models at 30. They both had models at 36 inches. One we found standing water at about 8 feet. The other one we
okay.
did not find any standing water. So
what month?
All right, and I'm just...
What month did they do?
August.
August. Was anything done earlier than that at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
And then just for, again, clarification for people that may not know Title V that well, because this is not new construction, only one perk hole is required. The two deep holes are for observational purposes. So you're only required to do the one perk test.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah.
And I just want to make sure for just because I might know a little, I know enough to be dangerous, but I just want to make sure for the record that it shows that you are totally in compliance with Title V and that you weren't asking for these unreasonable waivers. That was my goal there. Jeff, okay. Any other questions or concerns with the perk or the time of the perk?
Nope, I'm good.
So with that, okay, Tim, you have no questions either?
No, thanks, Bridget.
All right, and then Kathleen, you indicated that Wade was in support of the upgrade approval, obviously because of a failed system. So we're taking the advice of the engineering consultant, and then obviously to get maximum feasible compliance and to have a safe system, we want to go ahead and support that. So is there a motion to accept or to grant the variance as requested?
Motion to grant the variance as requested.
Is there a second?
Second it.
All right, so we'll do a roll call vote. Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And the chair is yes. So that will be effective once Kathleen and Ginny type up the letter, I guess, right, with the variance rules that go up to the engineer and the homeowner?
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, Bill, and I'll email
okay.
you and mail it to you.
All right, I'll let the homeowner know. He'll be very happy, as you know.
Okay, so I was just going to say I have a note to call the homeowner tomorrow morning, but you'll
yep.
let her know? Okay.
We're going to call them tonight, so I'll call right now.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Thank you, Bill, for joining. Appreciate your help.
No, thanks for calling me. Bye.
Thanks, guys. All right, Kathleen, what's next?
So next is discuss Chapter 238, manicurist establishments. So this regulation was written in 2006, and I'm not sure when the state took over licensing manicurists. I know at least I've been doing this since 2008, so probably right before that. So I was just, you know, with businesses the way they are right now, I feel like charging them a fee and permitting them, plus they have to pay the state for a permit fee and get a license from the state, I just feel like that's just something that we could eliminate from our regulations. It's just a kind of a moot point. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I am just starting to do some cleanup and some changes as I near a year coming up in December. And so, you know, I'll be bringing things like this to the board. So I just wanted a short, brief discussion if you're in favor or not. Of doing that?
Kathleen, just again for clarification, I know that the state took over, but some towns have held on to the local authority only for really like worker protection when they're using like the fake, what do they call it, the acrylic type stuff to ensure that there's still some safety protocols in place. This is just a general regular manicure regulation that the state put out, right? This isn't a revised Franklin specific to promote, you know, safety or anything like that, right? This is just a cut and dry template that we took back in forever ago.
Yeah, I believe so, Ginny, unless you know otherwise.
I wasn't in the office at 2006.
Oh, okay. So it must be just from the state.
Yeah, then I'm totally in favor of that. If they're already licensed and regulated by the state, if it's going to be an undue burden, I don't see why. If it was something that was more specific and that you guys were, actually, you're not even inspecting them, right, Kathleen? This is literally like a taxation without representation.
Yeah, I mean, there's no
inspection process. Again, if you were doing something where you were looking for specific signage or there was a local ordinance that this supported, I would feel differently. But where this is the state statute and they're already handling it, I'm totally in favor with your recommendation.
Okay.
But with that, I would like to open it up to Tim and Jeff to see their feedback and comments and or concerns.
Kathleen, does the town of Franklin collect a fee from the manicurist establishments in addition to the fees that they pay to the state?
Correct.
Okay.
It's like double dipping.
Yeah.
It's very much like double dipping.
It's kind of a lot.
Yeah, and it would be a different thing. Like, again, I think I'd feel differently if this was a municipality that you guys went out and did inspections twice a year. You were looking for some of these key elements, but you're not doing that. So I don't think it's appropriate to charge.
I know. And if we did get a complaint, probably right now it would just be COVID compliance. But, you know, we can enter a facility without a regulation like this if we think there's a nuisance.
Correct.
I just feel like it's kind of unfair. And like I said, as I move through, you know, passing the year point, I'll probably, you know, see this a little bit, you know, maybe a few other things. I don't know. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
No, I'm totally in favor. Jeff, I'm not sure that you provide, I want to make sure that you're in alliance, you know, in alignment, or if you feel differently, that you let us know so that we're not overstepping. But what are your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Good with it. Good.
All right. So, Kathleen, do you think that we need a vote to revoke that regulation, or is that an administrative decision you can make on your own?
No, I would give a vote just for, you know, just for that added support.
Of course. So is there a motion to...
I do think that we need to... I think because we are removing a regulation, we need to place on the agenda...
Public hearing. Okay.
On the law. I anticipate there will be public comment or opposition to the removal of the regulation, but I do think that we have to at least place on the agenda that there's a public hearing regarding the removal of it. So.
Okay. Okay, I'll just that I can do
administratively. I also think, Kathleen, you administratively cannot collect the.
Well, what we would do is I don't even think I put the application on Viewpoint. Did I, Ginny? No, I didn't. I don't think I put it on Viewpoint anyways. So maybe we could just.
Yeah.
Just say, you know, I'm not, you know, if you want, I'll hold a public hearing, but. We can do it at the next meeting if you feel
if it's a dormant point anyway, then for the sake of the formality, why don't we hold a public? I would recommend holding a public hearing at the next scheduled board of health.
Okay, that sounds good. That we want to be in compliance with the open meeting law.
Totally reasonable. I'm in.
Super. All right. Next. Recruitment of volunteers for the COVID vaccine clinic. I don't know if you all saw the survey that I did. I'm looking for volunteers, medical professionals, laymen, people, you know, anybody from within Franklin. So I got 39 responses, which is awesome. And the survey is still active, so I should be getting more. So I have a spreadsheet of these folks, and we'll be, once I close out the survey, I'll just kind of send them a nice letter from the board thanking them for their time, and you know, we have their information, so when the time comes to hold a COVID clinic, we'll be ready. So we have fire all set, and we have the layout all set. Our whole emergency dispensing site plan is in order, and now I have the volunteers, so just wanted to update you on that.
Kathleen, I just
awesome.
Have a
Thank
comment
you.
On that. I don't know what the specific limitations would be on who can actually participate as a volunteer, but presently there are a lot of nursing schools in the Commonwealth who are, and nursing students who are struggling to find opportunities to volunteer. If you're looking for additional personnel, and they don't have to necessarily be from Franklin, that's always an avenue to reach out to or the independent nursing schools, not necessarily the nursing schools associated with larger universities or colleges, but, you know, independent programs.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
There are students who are looking for opportunities to help, given the limited clinical experience that they're getting due to the pandemic. So it was just something that I thought about when you sent out the survey.
Yeah, good point.
If you're looking for additional volunteers, that may be a well to tap.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
What are these volunteers actually going to be doing?
So I wish I knew you were going to ask me that because I could get my paper, but so a number of things. So people would be similar to the flu clinic. You know, when you come in, you get screened, you fill out your registration, but I'll probably do pre-registration. So the registration form is looked at, the insurance card is collected, you know, forms are, or the consent form is given, you know, so there's a lot of that paperwork to be done. And of course, then move along through. So we have it set up like the voting polls, like what you saw this week at Franklin High School. So we'll have, you know, people moving along, you know, the I think it's eight, is it four rows, I think. And then, you know, have people stationed at, after they get their shot, you know, there's a medical room. We need people to give shots, to, you know, draw the shots, things like that. So it's kind of like a process, and I can actually send out the way it moves, the flow chart, I guess you might call it.
Well, they have COVID tested at all in order to be there, or is that a requirement?
No, so it'll be screening like we do with every, you know, COVID screening. So it will look exactly like a flu clinic. I mean, exactly like a flu clinic. I'm not going with the drive-through. The fire department does not want a drive-through at the high school, even though we have a plan. So the way it looks as a voting facility, that's the way it will look with the flu clinic, COVID vaccine clinic.
Thank you.
Cool. You're welcome. Any other questions about that?
No, so, ma'am.
And it's going to, the way it looks, there's going to be four phases of how the state's divided, who's going to get the vaccine. So it'll be multiple clinics, not just one townwide, like we kind of thought. So those people will be needed. And so you've heard about the new orders regulating gatherings, early closing for certain businesses, and revised face covering. I didn't know if any of you had any questions about that.
No, ma'am.
All right. Do you think of anything? Yeah, Tim?
No. Thanks. No. Thank you, Kathleen. No.
You're welcome. Stay tuned. As of course, I don't anticipate going into red. We were average daily incident was at 5.2 last Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
I went from 11 to 14 cases, so I don't see us going past 8. So I think we're going to see.
Do you have the calculation, Kathleen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the calculation? Do you have the calculation that you can do it yourself? I can send it to you.
Ooh, no, I didn't know it could.
So you can pull, you just have to pull the same data points the state's using. So it would be October 17th to October 31st, whatever the confirmed cases of that time period. I'll send you the, it's pretty easy actually now that I've been doing it, but I'll send it to you and we can calculate out ahead of time before the report. And then what you can also do is utilize that information rolling forward to see if you may anticipate being, you know, changing status based on incoming cases.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
it was in one of the webinar notes that we got from Dawn Cybor, but it's I have it on a sticky note, and I just continue. The only thing I need you to figure out is look up the census population for Franklin, and that will be how we calculate out the 100,000.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Cool. Of course.
Yeah. And I sent you guys the numbers. The graph was kind of screwed up, but Tyler fixed that, so it will look better next week. And then I just wanted to update you on what occurred at 27 Winter Street after the board condemned the dwelling. So first I had to get police reports for the Attorney General's office. And the officer that I'm working with said that over 5 years there's been over 80 calls out there. Let's just say we have made them extremely happy that we're moving quickly on this property. We went out, Jenny and I went out, we placarded the dwelling on Thursday. I did mail the condemnation letter to the owner. The next
I don't know, Ginny, when Monday we went by and the placard was torn off the front door. So I told the officer that, you know, it's a crime actually to ruin something for that's a municipal owned, right? And so he actually laminated four copies of the placard, went out there, posted it all over the place, and there'll be a criminal charge on any occupant that might enter the premise once it's placarded. So they're moving aggressively as well to keep people out of here and let it be known that it is condemned. So they're really supportive of what we've done and really happy. So that's, I just wanted to give you an update on that. And, you know, these places take up too much of the police officer's time for ridiculous incidents. And believe me, I read the police reports and they're ridiculous. And so, you know, I just want you to know it's the broader picture than just saying, you know, this property doesn't have heat and hot water and we're condemning it. So it's a broader picture. And I just wanted to kind of bring you up to date with that.
Yeah.
No, it's much appreciated. And I think that, go ahead, Jeff.
Did anyone board the place up so it can't be entered?
No, it's pretty tight, Jeff. It's really not open to the weather. The doors are locked. Windows are locked. Well, except for the ones that are broken upstairs. There's like mattresses in front of the door, chairs in front of the door. So it was open. It might be a different story, but it's pretty secure, actually. We're pretty lucky on that.
Good.
So
that's some thank you for that, your work, yours and Ginny's work on that, and then obviously with collaborating with other town departments, I think it's a huge benefit. So I'm gonna yield my chair duties over to Tim, is that cool?
Yeah, that's great. I think we're close. I think we're all right. Last item on the agenda, right?
Yep, you just
awesome. Ask. Thank you guys.
Bye, Bridget.
I'll see you guys soon. Have a great night. Thanks. Bye.
You too. I think you just have to ask if there's any citizens' commentary. Yeah. That's it.
Is there any? I don't even. So at this time, at the end of the board's new business, are there any public comments or any citizen commentary? Is that Steve? Is that Steve's phone on the line?
I think it's Steve. Yeah.
Okay. Well, with
I think there's somebody
no comment from the public, the board will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
As the only other member on the board, I will second and take a roll call vote to adjourn the meeting. Jeff?
Yes.
I will also vote yes. The Board of Health will adjourn its meeting at 5:27 p.m.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yes, stay safe. And if we don't see each other before the holidays, everyone have a nice Thanksgiving. I have a feeling maybe we'll see each other before then, but
probably, yeah. I'll need you for something.
No, just in case, but everyone, it thanks everyone for all the hard work. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.